GAA on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
So GAA next, and we have a wide-ranging interview for you with Malachy O'Rourke. So Monaghan obviously had a fairly exciting year in the Senior Football Championship. They made it to their first All-Ireland semi-final in 30 years. They lost to Tyrone by a point. So Malachy O'Rourke, the manager, sat down with Off the Ball Shane Hannan recently, talked about the state of Gaelic football, potential of a tiered championship coming in, and balancing his work as well as a PE teacher with being an inter-county manager. So we'll bring you that now. Shane began by asking him about, first of all, agreeing to stay on at the helm until at least 2020. He signed a contract extension last month.
I suppose the thing you had to weigh up was going into my seventh year now, and you know, you're always afraid that maybe things can go stale, that you don't want to outstay your welcome. I've had such a great time in the morning job that, you know, you'd always have that fear. And I suppose, again, after 6 years, and it's you know, there's a lot of work to it, that you have to find out whether you have the hunger and the desire necessary to you know, to do the job justice, if you like. So I had to find out that, first of all, for myself. And you know, I did, after a short period of time, I knew that, you know, that I had the hunger and was keen to go back. And I suppose that was maybe the way the year went, and that I felt we had made a lot of progress. I suppose the next thing then was to sit down with the backroom team and see if they were feeling the same way, because, you know, they're massively important to everything we do. But then again, obviously, the most important thing of all is that the players were happy, that they were keen for us to come back, that the county board, the sponsors and everyone else, that all the key stakeholders were keen to have us back. And when we found that was the case, and, you know, there was a lot of support from everywhere, I suppose the decision at the end of the day was fairly easy then.
When you look back on Monaghan's year, I mean, obviously, we go back to Tyrone in Omagh that day, and what an incredible performance that was. Disappointment the next day out against Fermanagh, and then probably a route that you didn't plan on through the back door as well, with trips all over the country. But losing then in a semi-final to Tyrone, a team that you'd already beaten, is obviously disappointing. But to get through a Super 8s and get beyond that quarter-final stage, which you'd aimed to do for a number of years before that, was obviously a success. So do you look back now on the year gone with a bit of disappointment, or has it to be seen as a successful year overall?
I suppose it's a mixture of things, just as you say. I think it's at the start of every year, the one thing that you I suppose you have to judge the year by is if you feel the team has improved, you know, throughout the year. And I think that's what we've always set out to do at the start of every year. And even though we haven't ended up some years with silverware and things like that, we did feel we still, and even last year, you know, we felt at the end of the year we were disappointed the way things end up, but we did feel that we had improved as a team throughout the year. And again, this year, we very much felt that. I suppose going back right to the start of the year during the National League, we made a conscious decision that we wanted to sort of, we weren't going to play the same players all the time. You know, we knew that we were hoping that it would be a fairly long year, and that we needed the players fresh later on in the year. So we just didn't want that, maybe in other years, just to make sure we preserved our Division 1 status. I suppose we played fellas who maybe were carrying wee knocks and that there, and just in order to get the 2 points. This year we decided we wouldn't do that. We felt that their panel we had grown the panel enough over the last number of years that we had enough fellas that could come in and be well able to cope with Division 1 football. So we did that. We changed the team about a lot. We didn't give fellas a run of games if they'd picked up knocks or anything like that there. We introduced a number of newer fellas, a couple of fellas like Connor Boyle, for example. Connor, who had been away in America the whole year and missed the year, I think we played him in every single game. Rory Began was probably the same, because again, just Rory was so important to us with regards to kickouts and things like that, and we wanted just to get him used to playing with the players outfield all him. I think Niall Cairns was another. Niall came into the team at the start of the year as well, and we wanted to give him a prolonged run just to see how he got on. So the league was a success, you know, with some really good victories. As you said, we went into the championship, a great victory against Tyrone, and then the day against Fermanagh was just a real disappointment for us all, and that we felt we were going well going into the game. We just didn't play well enough on the day. We probably should have won the game, and then we were caught at the death. So that was a big jolt for us, if you like. But the players, in fairness, we sat down the week after as a group, and we'll let the players thrash it out among themselves. And they just came back and said, listen, we just really want to give this a go. We're not finished for the year. We've put in too much work. And then that's the next part of the journey took place. And I suppose we got fairly kind draws in the first part of qualifiers. But we got better and better as the year went on. And then the Super 8s, I thought we had, you know, put in some really good performances, which was very pleasing. And that was when we really did feel that, you know, it showed them how much we were improving as a team. I suppose the semi-final was ultimately a disappointment in that, again, we didn't feel that we played as well as we could. We started off the game nervously, I think, a wee bit. As the game went on then, I thought we were getting more into it. We went a point up, and then Tyrone got a goal just at a crucial stage. And in fairness to Tyrone, to finish the game out, you know, we obviously were a bit disappointed with a few things with regards to the time allowed at the end and so on. But look, we didn't do enough to win the All-Ireland semi-final. Tyrone deservedly went through. So, you know, we held our hands for that. But so overall, to answer your question in a roundabout way, I do feel that we made a lot of improvements during the year. And once you're doing that, it gives you encouragement for going forward. And but now it's about, again, it's not standing still. It's trying to look at areas where we can improve again, and we know we've got lots of them, and that's the challenge ahead of us now.
There's been a lot of talk this summer about comparisons between hurling and football, and clearly it's been a great year for hurling. I mean, I was at the Cork Limerick game myself, and the sheer skill and the atmosphere and everything that came with it was just unbelievable. And you compare that to, you've probably seen the video of Sloc Neill against Mara Felt in the Derry Senior Championship last week or a couple of weeks ago, where boys are just, you know, soloing the ball on the halfway line in the build-up to half-time. I think there's maybe 4-3. And clearly it went viral afterwards because everyone was kind of saying, look, this is the death of Gaelic football and whatnot. But I've heard you say before that, you know, the game will come through this current phase, and it comes in phases. But is there any rule changes that you can think of that might help along the game? Or is this just a... Is it perhaps unfair to compare hurling to Gaelic football at the moment?
It possibly is, because the way the hurling is played and the ball moves so fast, and it is very exciting, and nobody can deny that. I suppose, like all games, and Gaelic football has evolved a lot over this last number of years, and even looking back, I remember when I was with Fermanagh in 2008, and I remember at that time, I remember playing Derry in an Ulster semi-final, and Derry at that time, I think they were National League champions, but they had Owen Bradley, Paddy Bradley up on the full forward line. And, you know, at that time it was a key. You looked at the team and said, right, well, look at it. If we just play a 15-on-15 here, the team with probably the best forwards is going to win this out. So you had to start thinking, right, well, what can we do different here? Can we sort of crowd those top forwards out and give ourselves a better chance of winning the game? And, you know, that was happening at that stage. I think then Jim McGuinness, in fairness, probably brought it to a new level. He again looked at the landscape and felt that the best way for him to win things with his team was to play that you know, a really strong defensive game, a counter-attacking game, if you like. And that brought him success. I think a lot of teams then started to copy that. And I think that what happened then was a lot of teams then were, when they were attacking that pack defence, we're still playing a sort of similar game to Dáil's played. We're forcing the ball and so on. And it was suiting the counter-attacking teams. And even Dublin back in, was it 2014, when they were beaten? I think Dublin played some great football that day. But then, you know, I suppose left themselves exposed, went all out attack. Donegal sat back, caught them on the counter, and ended up winning the game. And I think Dublin learned a lesson from that. And Dublin will not be caught like that again. And Dublin now, coming up with a counter-attacking team, Dublin are very, very patient. They will keep the ball. They will wait for the openings to appear. They will work them, and they will get the scores. And they will not be caught by a counter-attacking team again. I think that is the change you're seeing at the minute, that a lot of teams now, rather than playing into a defensive team, into a counter-attacking team's hands by forcing the ball and moving it quickly, they're being really patient. They're waiting, they're probing, they're patient, they're waiting for an opening to occur. And that is why I think games are looking so bad at the minute in some cases. And I think the one you referenced there, the Sloc Neill Mara Felt game, Sloc Neill at that stage, where I think we're leading the game, they maybe were playing against a Gael Force win. Mara Felt had 15 men behind the ball. If Sloc Neill would have kicked that ball in stupidly, it would have given then Mara Felt the chance to counter-attack, and maybe Sloc Neill would not enough men back. And so Sloc Neill did what was a sensible thing to do in the circumstance to try and ensure that they'd give nothing away. And I think that is where the problem is at the minute. It's that idea of a team going back in defence and the other team not really attacking them, being patient, not committing too many men forward, not forcing the ball forward and that there. So that means there's a lot of slow passages of play. And then particularly if a team is ahead, like Sloc Neil Ware, it's magnified further and the hold on to the ball and so on. And that is where the problem is, I think, at the minute. And there's no doubt, I'd be the first to admit it, and I would, whether I was managing a team or not, I would be going, I'd watch football a lot as a spectator, always have. And at the minute, there's some of the games aren't great spectacles. So I think it is a case of looking at it, of maybe tweaking something. I don't know, I haven't looked at it deeply enough to really come up with a plan as to what that would be. But I think I don't think it needs drastic overhaul, because sometimes I think when you do that, you have other sort of consequences of that you didn't intend to have, and it ends up nearly being worse than when. So I think the game, in a lot of cases, the game is good, but I do think there are a couple of wee tweaks that might help it and maybe try and get over what's happening at the minute, because certainly at the minute, so many bodies back and that slow build-up play, that can be very frustrating for spectators. And at the end of the day, I suppose all managers and all teams are in the business of winning, and your supporters, whether no matter what way you win, they will enjoy it, because that's what they want out of a success. But I think for the wider audience who are watching the game and who want to be entertained, that's where the problem is. And I think for the good of Gaelic football, it might be worth looking at seeing what can be done to make it a better spectacle, to make it maybe a wee bit more free flowing and bring a wee bit more excitement back to it.
One of the key stated aims of John Horan, the current GAA president, over his 3-year term has been this idea of a tiered championship. And I know this has been brought up at Congress before and kind of didn't make it past argument point. But I guess there was an interesting quote from Conor McManus from this year, actually, talking about this idea that Monaghan are punching above their weight for a county with a population of 60,000. His reply was, it's nearly condescending. It's as if people expect you to stay in Division 3 or 4 and be done with it. Is there an argument that almost a tier championship doesn't allow a team like Monaghan? I know when you took over Monaghan, you were in Division 3. I think Monaghan had lost 14 of their 19 league and championship games in the 2 years preceding your arrival. Is there some argument that in a tier championship, teams like Monaghan would never have been allowed to progress to this level of All-Ireland semi-finals? Or do you think it's a positive thing for the smaller or so-called weaker counties?
Yeah, again, it's a tricky one, you know, and I know that I would have played in the county football with Fermanagh for many years. And I honestly do think that regardless of how others perceive you or anything else, I do know that every year we started in Fermanagh, we still felt that we could win an Ulster title. Now, other people from outside of our county would have felt that was nonsense and all that. But I still think that you have to give every county player that dream, that hope, whatever else it is. And I think, however you could do it, I would like to see all teams being allowed to enter the All-Ireland Championship, to enter the top competition. And whether that's the as part of a provincial championship or whatever it is, you know. And then after that, whatever happens after that, if you lose once, and I don't know how this would work, and there's obviously problems with this too, if there's some way then, if you lose your first game of going into a tiered competition. And I think if that, as long as, I just feel that, I could be wrong, could be completely wrong this, I'm just looking from the outside, I just feel that if there are counties who are being told from the start of the year that you're going to be in a lower ranked competition, it's not getting any exposure from the media, you know, and it just feel as if they're playing at a lower level and no one really cares about them. I think it's not going to work, regardless of whether, you know, they have a chance to win that competition or not. So I think that if you could marry both things, if you get everybody a chance that they can still dream big and have the chance to be in that the big competition first of all. If they don't, if they lose in that there, then they go into the tiered competition. And as long as it's a meaningful competition, that, and again, this has been well, you know, put out in the media, whatever. I do think that the final, if it could be played on the same day as All-Ireland Senior Final and things like that, there, you know, players are treated the same way. There's you know, holders, there's some sort of a prize at the end of it, all that sort of thing. I think it would catch on, and I think over a number of years people would then see, look, there's value in this, and people would then, you know, really value playing competitively in a competition that they could win. But I just do think that if you take away that dream from teams and just maybe throw them in that there straight away, I think, and coming from somebody who played with a so-called weaker county at that time, and I'm not sure that would be the best thing.
There's obviously been a growing trend for sports psychology and the background stuff behind the scenes with panels and inter-county squads. I read a story, I think it was from your time over Fermanagh in 2008 or so. It was one of these stories that catches on of, you know, lads nervous in the dressing room and talking about there's a billion people in China, not one of them give two shits about the outcome of this game, essentially. Is that something that's grown in your psyche as something that's massively important in a senior inter-county panel, that this whole idea of psychology and players, I suppose, that their ability to mentally think about a game, and then, you know, even the night before a massive game like an All-Ireland quarterfinal, semi-final, whatever it might be, that they're in the right frame of mind?
I think it is. It is a massive part of the game, and I suppose, you know, a lot of time you spend so big a percentage of the time on the pitch and trying to improve physical fitness, trying to improve team play, you know, in the gym, improving strength and power and things like that sometimes, you know, and the thing that does oftentimes decide the matches is the mental side of things, you know. And again, I think that's where Dublin are so strong at the minute, in that, you know, in the last 10 minutes of games, when games are there to be won and lost, Dublin invariably are making the better decisions on the ball than nearly all the teams they're coming up against. Now, having said that, I think Dublin, the fact that they're playing all their games in Croke Park, they're so used to it now. They've been there in finals, semi-finals. I suppose it's another day at the office for them. They're coming into it really composed, knowing, obviously they'll have some nerves, but knowing, you know, what is going on before, what to expect and everything else. You know, for other teams who are coming in there for the first time, you know, and that was Monaghan's first time in semi-final for a number of years, of course there's going to be different nerves. There's a completely different build-up to it in the county, in the media and everything else. And that has to affect people. You know, people, like keep on saying, people are only human beings at the end of the day. So, you know, and there is a place for, you know, that psychology aspect of it, just to have players relaxed, have them really focused, understanding again and accepting that they're not going to feel really good and you know, feel on top of the world maybe in these games going into them, but that's all part of it, and just the you know, having them you know, relaxed enough and focused enough to perform, you know, despite feeling that way, if you like. So no, I think the psychology end of it is really crucial. It is in all sports, and I think it's one that will be looked at more and more as the years go on, because look at everything now is Gaelic football has become, you know, it's a profession, everything but name, I suppose. You know, there's a lot of people in the back room working really hard and trying to cover all bases and trying to get those extra wee percentages, and no doubt that'll continue.
Dermot Malone, I think it was in the build-up to the Kildare game in the Super 8s, perhaps, he was talking about how Dermot McArdle, a fellow Castleblaney man who would have played under Banty McEnany for Monaghan through the noughties, was talking about how they used to go down to qualifier games against Waterford and essentially be on the piss the night before the game, and how now you look at Monaghan 10 years on playing Waterford in a qualifier game, clearly taking it very seriously, and just how fast Gaelic football has evolved in that 10 years. It's quite incredible.
Yeah, it is. There's no doubt about that. And again, you know, in fairness to the players, you know, we would never really mention drink, or would never have mentioned anything out there, because, you know, obviously before a game is not there. But you know, but I found that over this last number of years, and even with, when I was with Fermanagh as well, you know, went in maybe unlike when I played myself, that, you know, we played a game, went in, got the boys got their meal after, and stayed on the bus on the way home. They weren't interested in taking any drink after. And the boys at the minute, on the same. You know, they know themselves, and that's the key to it. Is it the drive and the hunger is coming from themselves, you know, and so they know what's the right thing to do and what's not. So they take it very seriously, you know. They'll be very mindful of looking after themselves and recovering well, and then when the time is right, they'll know how to go the other way. Have no doubt about that. But over the years it's, and I suppose the bar has been set so high that you know that if you're not sensible about it and you don't prepare right and recover right, you're not going to feature against the top team. So I suppose that's where that has come from.
I mean, we saw departures from Eamon Fitzmaurice and Stephen Rochford, a couple of high profile departures recently. I think you're the joint second longest serving inter-county manager at the moment, yourself and Jim Gavin, and only Mickey Hart has been with the same county for longer. But you clearly love it as much as you ever did, and I know you're a PE teacher as well in St Joseph's, I think it is, in Enniskillen. Yeah. So how do you find that work-life balance of balancing everything on one hand? Do you find it difficult, or do you streamline it as you go on with Monaghan, that every year it becomes easier almost?
I'm not sure about that. What I would say is at least teaching is one profession that gives you that wee bit of time, and that I finish... The normal school day finishes at 3:15 in the evening. So if I have to be home, I can be home at 4:00. There's obviously other evenings, you know, when you're taking teams after school, there's meetings and different things like that. So that's not always the case. But at least you're not working maybe till 6-7 o'clock every night of the week. You then obviously have Saturday and Sunday completely free, and then you have the summer months free as well. So it is one profession that allows you to have a wee bit of extra time. Having said that, it does consume you. You know, it takes up a lot of time. You have to have an understanding family at home. But I suppose after a while, they get used to it as well, and they enjoy it as well. You know, my wife Judith and I've two girls, Molly and Orla, and they love it. They love going to the matches, and so they're very much a part of at this stage as well. But no, it is, and I suppose in the middle of it, when you know, especially I suppose this summer with the qualifiers and the games coming week after week, even though on your holidays, there's always the thing, you're always looking to, you know, analysing DVDs and planning ahead and things like that. And those times that times I was thinking to myself, this is a bit mad, in the famous words. You know, it's funny then, that, you know, there's great rewards at the end of it, and it's great, you know, when the boys are performing well and so on. And the funny thing then, when the whole thing ends and you get a week or two off and you have a bit of downtime, and then the next thing you're starting going back looking at videos, so it sort of never leaves you, you know. But it can be busy at times, but look, that's all part of the job, and it's really enjoyable. And it, I suppose, it's when you're working with a really committed and ambitious group, and you know, there's an awful lot of enjoyment. There's great crack along the way, and that's a big part of it. It certainly makes it easier.
Just to finish up then, Malachy, I mean, I think it was 5 of the 15 starters against Tyrone in the semi-final were 30 years of age or older. On the flip side of that, you know, you have the likes of Ryan McInnesby and Niall Kearns, who are 22. I think Conor McCarthy's 23. You've got other young lads on the panel as well coming through. And quite a nice conveyor belt there of young players coming through from Monaghan. When we're sitting here in maybe September 2019, September 2020, where do you think Monaghan football will be at? What's the targeted aims? I mean, obviously when you took over in 2013, you got that Ulster title, you got the two promotions in a row, another Ulster title in 2015, and look, we broken the barrier, I suppose, of the Super 8s and got to the semi-final this year. But over these next 2 years, do you have any aims that you would like to accomplish in that time?
I'm not so sure that you can, put out a big aim that you want to achieve with regards to a sort of an outcome with regards to silverware and things like that there. And because I suppose if being realistic, if you look, there was three trophies that you're fighting for at the start of the year. There's National League, there's an Ulster Championship, and there's an All-Ireland. And Dublin have really had a monopoly on the National League and the All-Ireland Championship over this last number of years. So look at every team, and we are no different. I suppose starting off with the National League, same as every year, we want to try and preserve our status in the National League. And then if we do that, then we want to push on and see where that takes us. The Ulster Championship comes next, and again, you know, the last Ulster Championship won was 2015. We'd love to win another one, but that's not easy done, and we know that. But again, it's an aim at the start of the year. You'd love to do that. And I suppose without taking any massive jump, we'd love to get back to the Super 8s. We'd like to get there. You know, I suppose that's where the top 8 teams in the country usually are. You'd love to get back there, and you would love to see if you can progress through it again and see if you can go further. I think that's the aim of every team, and we're no different. But the one thing is I know how hard that is, and it's easy talking about these things. The most important thing of all, you know, if we're setting goals, is just to have that goal of having that real focused attitude again. The fellas are really hungry. They're really keen to improve, first of all, individually and then collectively. And there's just that hunger among the group again, and that not solely from the players, from myself and the whole people in the backroom team, that we really are have a real desire to try and move the thing on. Because if you don't have that desire, you know, people will catch you, pass you out, and so on. So that's the main goal is just going back again, trying to drive the thing on and seeing where that takes us.
Marky, you've been very good at your time. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Ian.
GAA on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.